Alrighty, and we have our guest on the phone, Carol Fisher Saylor, who is an author of books, most recently children's books, I guess. Welcome to the program, Carol.
Thank you. Thank you both so much. Wow, I really enjoyed that music. You guys have the best music.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. We don't always agree on that, but we appreciate the compliment. Thank you very much. So you are a graduate of the University of Illinois, correct?
I am. And I just have to say, before we talk about children's books, that the very first rock concert I ever attended was in the big assembly hall there, and it was Jethro Tull.
No.
And I don't, no kidding. And I don't think I've, you know, I just really haven't listened to Jethro Tull since I heard it on your show a few minutes ago.
You know, would that have been in the, early 90s, maybe the late 80s?
A little further back.
Okay, all right.
Early 70s.
Okay, because we saw them there in, just moved to the area in 1988, and we saw them sometime, I'm thinking, the early 90s.
And, they're still rocking.
Yeah, they are.
They definitely are. So tell us a little bit about you before we get into the book.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've worked in publishing my whole life, mainly as an editor and copy editor, for a little while as an editor of children's books, but most of my career was at the University of Chicago editing scholarly books, which is, about as far as you can get from children's books. But on the side, I've written children's books for many years, and I have several, and I keep writing them. I don't know what's wrong with me. I do love them.
Well, you've won several awards for your books, I see. That's pretty impressive.
Well, I have, and it is. It's very affirming to have somebody read the book and think that it's good quality. You hate the idea of writing something for children that isn't going to be good literature. Mm. You know, so that's a goal. That's always a goal. Even though I want the book to be engaging and fun, I want it to be, I use the word wholesome, and I don't mean that in any prudish, kind of icky way. I mean, just in the best possible way of nourishing children to make them think and make them see. I like to model good relationships in my books, even though they're tested. They might be tested, and there might be a villain, but I don't like bullies. I tend to try to subvert that trope of middle school life as just filled with bullies and that all pretty girls are mean girls. And, you know, I don't have any pretty mean girls in my books. I don't like that idea.
There's enough of that in middle school already.
There's enough of it already, yeah.
Well, tell us about the Time Jinx Twins, which is the new book set to be released, or
soon.
Maybe it has been released.
Yeah, it just a couple days ago.
Okay.
I'm very excited about the Time Jinx Twins. This is supposed to be the first book of a trilogy, so we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. But in the first book, the twins, I call it the Parent Trap meets Back to the Future, because the twins have been separated for a long time. They grew up apart from about the age of 5. They're 12 now. And Kat has been traveling the world with their glamorous, handsome cabaret singer father, while Ellie has stayed home with her University of Chicago physicist mother. And Ellie is down to earth. She's a gymnast. She likes sports. She does martial arts, parkour, and aikido. And Kat, though, is sort of, she doesn't have a lot of friends. She's shy. She's very talented in different ways. She's grown up in the theater, but she's not interested in that. She wants to be a fact checker. and she likes looking at the data in her phone. So they couldn't be more different, and they don't necessarily really like each other very much with cats. When the parents decide it's time for Kat to settle down and go to middle school and live with Ellie and her mom.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So talk about the time travel portion of this, because that's an interesting twist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to write something a little more commercial than the quiet historical fiction that I tend to write, but I'm not that into science fiction or fantasy except for time travel. I love time travel, and that's historical, isn't it? You get to do all the research. You send your kids wherever you want. So, and I also, you know, time travel, especially for children, but also for adults, can take all kinds of forms. It can be just a magic tree or you close your eyes and wish real hard or you put on a magic costume or you have a genetic, mutation that allows you or it can be magic. But I wanted it to be science. I wanted it to be a machine, that the mother invents. And, I wanted it to be a small handheld device. And I wanted it to be not quite finished. So the girls accidentally launch themselves off with this thing, and they don't know how to get home because they don't know how it works. Mm-hmm. And, so that's the premise.
So yeah. Where do they go? How far back do they go in their travels?
Well, since the machine isn't very powerful yet. It becomes much more powerful in book two. In book one, it only takes them back 50 years, and it doesn't take them very far. They land just a few miles from their home in Chicago in 1970. But then, after some adventures in Chicago, they get desperate to figure this thing out, and they decide to go to Champaign, where they know that their mother's mentor, when she was in graduate school at the University of Illinois, probably, you know, it should still be there or, you know, is there in 1970. So they go to find her, and she takes them in, and they have more adventures in Champaign while they try to figure out how to get back home.
Now, is it the mother, Ellie's mother, or is it this person they find in the mentor here in Champaign that pays tribute to this University of Illinois physicist Lorella Jones?
Yes, it's the Champaign professor.
Okay.
Who's the only woman in the physics department there, and and it's in the she's in the College of Engineering, and she's based closely on everything I could find about Lorella Jones, which isn't much. There's really not much about her. And then I also add some things that are not true of Lorella Jones, but I make that clear in an author's note at the back of the book. I give her a ward, a 17-year-old boy who becomes actually is the character people like most in the book. I think he's a great, big, huge kid who's extremely shy and exhibits behavior that people would probably describe as on the spectrum. He's brilliant but awkward, and I don't label him in the book at all. He's just Bear. They call him Bear because he's big like a bear, and he's and the girls just fall in love with him. He's such a good friend, and they, the three of them, have the adventures.
So is it easy to write a children's book, and where do these ideas come from about time travel and coming to Champaign and to the university and all that?
Some people are just creative.
I want to learn here.
Well, it's not easy. No, people think it might be easy because especially writing picture books or something, which are the hardest to write. They think they're only a few words, but a lot of times people especially older adults like myself, might look back to the picture books they grew up with and have the wrong idea. You know, back in the day, picture books were very saccharine sweet and kind of moralistic, heavy on the lessons, you know, and now they're so subversive and funny and smart. And I have written a few picture books, but I gave up. The older I got, the harder it got. And I'm really more interested. I didn't think I could write novels when I was younger. So I kind of grew into them. And yeah, it's hard. It's like giving birth. I mean, it's darn hard. It's agony, but it's also, oh, you know, just so rewarding. And once you have a draft, a really crappy draft, then for me, the joy comes with revising the draft to make it good and bring it up, you know, put in, add the humor, add the heart, add a lot of, do a lot more research, and you think of so many more little twists and things. Once you know where the book is going at the end, you can plant lots more little stuff along the way that makes it more interesting and exciting, you know, and you might change your mind. As you develop your characters and they begin to speak, sometimes you realize, oh, you know, she wouldn't do that. You had, that was in your outline that she was going to do something, but you think, oh, no, she wouldn't. Somebody else has to do that, or she has to do something else. And they start to kind of have minds of their own. And that's a wonderful, you know, thing also that makes the book more organic and more realistic. And I think gives it some, authenticity. If you can achieve that level of complexity in your characters, that they start kind of living their own lives.
Mm-hmm. So, Carol, you have an upcoming event here in Champaign to kind of, you know, reveal the book and talk about it at the Literary Book Bar here in downtown Champaign. When will
that
be?
That's right. That's on the 30th.
April 30th.
April 30th, that's a Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, and it'll probably last about an hour. I don't know. Beautiful bookstore, and I'll be there with my books, and I'll say a few words about the books and answer questions people like. And I have a little craft activity. If children want to come, they can make their own little time travel gizmo to take away with them. And I hope people will come. I hope students will come. I mean, I think if when I was a student, I would have enjoyed a lot of people of all ages read young adult and middle grade novels. If you've got one that's set on the same campus where you're studying, and especially, I sent a lot of notices to the science departments, and they're posting the event on their listservs and social media feeds, because they agree. They think their students might find it fun.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun.
It does, yeah.
So it's at the Lit on April 30th at 6 p.m. That's a Wednesday evening, you said. And, hey, we'll try and get there and meet you in person.
Oh, that would be so great. Thank you. I'd love that.
Yeah, and I just want to say this book is available, will be available in paperback, hardcover, or as an ebook.
Right. Right. And, just, you know, as they say, wherever books are sold.
Yes.
In lots and lots of places. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Carol Fisher Saylor, author of The Time Traveling Twins.
The Time Jinx Twins.
The Time Jinx Twins.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today.